It's Tuesday, the 11th of May, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Nikki, and joining me this week are three very special people, the usual suspects, and just to make things awkward, a little introduction to everyone. We've got the man who knows more about Transformers than you, Ace.
Hello.
The Northerner who hates Persona 5, Rhodes.
Not even Northern. What the fuck is this?
Shut up, you're Northern now. You're Northern to me, and that's what matters. And the Queen of Quizzes, Winx.
Ahoy there.
Wait a minute. Wait, no. Everyone got praised there, and I got told I was Northern, and I'm not even Northern. And I'm going more Northern because I'm angry about it. What is this?
I just want to point out that, like, I put this suggestion forward earlier today to Ace. I was like, I might just do like a little intro for everyone because I can. And I sent them to Ace, and Ace went, love it. So I'm taking Ace down with me here.
I gotta get out of here. I gotta go. Something with kids.
Can't believe this. It's unbelievable. I'm not even the most northern person here. Unreal.
Well, there you go. I apologize, but
wow,
you're all northern to me. Even Winx in London is northern to me.
You're all northern in my heart too.
We're all northern now. Welcome to the Grincast, everyone. Well, that backfired, but
how's we start referring it to as it to Tuk Grincast.
Tuk Grincast.
Yeah, Tuk Grincast.
Welcome to Tuk Grincast. Oh gosh.
Oh, you even said cast. Oh,
it's gone. I haven't hosted in probably over a month, and this is what happens when I come back. I'm so sorry, everyone. But hey, we've got a plethora of news stories to talk about this week. Got an interesting main topic, but let's start as we always do and discuss a game we've been playing for the past week. And I'm going to mix up the order a little bit by starting with Ace.
Oof, you got me.
Yeah, I heard Winx clench.
It's the one week where I'm ready for it and I've not gone first.
Game I want to talk about is one that I've just started, Yakuza 4, because I finished Yakuza 3, guys.
Woo!
Not my favorite one, but it's fine. It's enjoyable main story, at least.
Where would you rank it of the four that you've played?
I think my rank would be 0, 2, 1, 3.
Thank you for your credit card details. I just wrote that down. Your pin, lovely.
I actually started Yakuza 4 on the PlayStation 3 a long time ago, so I remembered this opening bit, but I kind of stopped playing it because the opening of the Yakuza games takes a while. It's a good hour and a half until it really opens up and lets you do stuff. So in my mind, I didn't want to go back to it because I'd have to dedicate quite a substantial amount of time every time I wanted to play it. That's not the case, because you can just pop on and do a karaoke song, go and save, and that's it. But yeah, I've obviously gotten a bit further in Yakuza 4 now. About 5 hours in, I think. And I'm playing it on the Xbox, and my wife's watching along. She wasn't there for most of the start bit, so when I was filling her in about the main characters, whose name I've completely forgotten, it's you don't play as Kiryu, the main character of the other games, at least initially. So I was explaining this new character, and he's a money lender. He's not a loan shark. And when I was explaining it, because he lends money and then you pay him back the exact amount, he doesn't charge interest, unlike a loan shark. My wife said, oh, so he's a loan dolphin. And I absolutely loved that. That was brilliant.
Aww.
And The Kamurocho has opened up quite a bit, because as well as street level, you've got an underground section and rooftop sections. I think you can get on the rooftops in the west part of in the east side of town as well as the west side. I've only been on the west side so far. and there's as you're exploring, you find locker keys for these coin-operated lockers, and the game lampshades the fact that you're finding all of these locker keys all over the place, because one of the NPCs says something along the lines of, every time I go to use one of these lockers, they're all used up. It happens at least twice a year that they're empty, and then suddenly I can't find a open one. And that's because some random person is filling them with like energy drinks and gambling cheat items, and then scattering the keys to the four winds, because you'll find them everywhere. They're in puddles, they're in bike baskets, on top of signs, like neon glowing signs. I found one after about 5 minutes of searching on the rooftop by looking down on the top of a sign. So yeah, there's lots of those to find, and I'm enjoying finding those and filling up my inventory with the stuff that's out of these lockers.
Isn't that just stealing?
Yeah. Kiryu's stolen a lot of items over the years, and now this guy's stealing a lot of items from the two different sets of lockers.
I'm calling the police.
Yes, Yakuza 4, enjoying it so far. Not done any karaoke. Will keep you apprised. Apprised? Or no?
Updated. That works. Nice. Thank you very much. Winx, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've like dipped in and out of a few games, kind of like a smorgasbord of games. I haven't really dedicated any particular one, but I played a little bit of Potion Craft, the demo at least. You can see my preview on GameGrin.com. Been playing a little bit of GTA, but without going online, but without actually doing any online stuff. I've just been playing as a NPC, a law-abiding citizen, because I'm trying to find a way to practice how to drive without driving. So I thought using GTA might be a good idea. And then that led me to the thought of maybe picking up some pedals and accessories and a gearbox, maybe, like in real life, to play. But I'm thinking, like, of how much they cost, I might as well just put that into getting one more lesson. But another game I've played like once, but was really fun, was a demo called Unbeatable White Label, I think it's called. It's a rhythm action game. It's got some gorgeous kind of anime-y manga comic book style. It's very like, kind of gives me some Scott Pilgrim vibes to it a little bit, but more on the anime side. And yeah, it's really fun. I'd really recommend it. It's kind of like a Donkey Konga, or what's the other Sega one?
A Taiko. Samba de Amigo.
Ah, yeah. Well, a little bit like that. Yeah. Well, was it Taiko Tatsujin? Taiko knows Tatsujin, right? How like the notes kind of come off from the outside of the screen, and they kind of come towards your protagonist, and then you're just gonna hit it in the right, you know, standard rhythm action game. But you've only got two buttons, and that's up and down, so that's the two different notes that kind of come at you. And there's obstacles too, but mainly it's those two up and down buttons you need to press or be aware of. But they come at both sides, so not only is it coming from like right to left, but also left to right, and you're in the middle, and the camera will pan left to right or have both of them on screen at the same time just to mess with you. Which, again, it's a really good concept. I really like that. I really enjoy that. But the controls are everything on the left side of your controller. So your D-pad is just down or up. I think it's down. Let's just say it's down. And everything on the right side, so your face buttons, your X, O, triangle, square, that's your up. And so having that kind of like split, where your left is down and your right is up, doesn't sound like it would be confusing, but when everything's kind of hailing at you at the same time, coming on both sides, like literal your left and your right, it gets really muddled, and there was no controller configuration, but and it gets really confusing. So I hope that they, you know, implement that later, like maybe in the full release. But other than that, it was really neat. And that was my smorgasbord of the week.
Nice. Thank you very much. Rhodes, what are you up to?
Hello. I am the northern representative of Game Grin on the Comcast. I've been playing Resident Evil Village because the entirety of the north of England is a village. And that's why I've been playing it. I've been simulating my own life.
If, in all seriousness, if the north is anything like Resident Evil Village, then we should probably send someone to come save you.
Oh, no, it's much worse than Resident Evil Village up north. Jesus. Goodness me. We'd be lucky if we had exotic vampires up here. Christ. We just get... I don't know. I'm not from the north. I don't know what we get up there. No, we. Them, more like. Anyway, Resident Evil Village. I won't go into it too much, like the actual game too much, because we have a review on our site. So if you want to check it out, gamegrin.com. There you go. But it is really good. I've had a lot of fun. I completed it twice already. So I think that's a pretty good indicator of fun, the fact that I've played it twice, especially considering that based on this podcast every week, I seem to hate every video game I play. But it's been really good fun. I've spent a lot of time playing Mercenaries mode, which isn't anything like Mercenaries mode. It's like, what are these? Was it Raid mode? Was that other mode they used to have? Where you'd like try and kill everyone as quickly as you can and get out of the level with so much time remaining and get loads of points. It's not really like traditional Mercenaries mode, but it's really addictive because in Village, like the first person controls are so much more refined than they were in 7. So it makes like the fun action-y like spin-off game mode really fun. And if you get an SS rank in every single stage, you get a lightsaber.
Wait, what?
Yes, you get a lightsaber. And I was just like, well, I want a lightsaber. Of course I want a lightsaber. Why would I not want a lightsaber? What? Sadly, it's just very difficult. So...
What do they call the lightsaber in this universe?
It's like the ZS, the LZ Answerer is what it's called.
Answerer?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, like, why. But it's basically a lightsaber. Like, it's a red beaming sword, and you just... I've not seen it in action, so I don't know if it goes, whoom, like a lightsaber, but I don't know why I did the noise. But I don't know. I just really want the lightsaber. It's a really fun game, and I want to play the game again, but with a lightsaber. And I think I speak for everyone when I say we all want to play the game with a lightsaber.
Definitely change things up.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So no, like, it makes no sense whatsoever in the context of Resident Evil. But I'm so glad it's there, so that one day I can play with a lightsaber.
I love that, like, the... People, you know, we can sit here and debate, like, you know, does a lightsaber make sense in the world of Resident Evil? Despite the fact, when you look at anything else that happens in the Resident Evil games, it's like, yeah, I have no idea what the heck is going on, but all right.
Sophie's natural in that environment.
What's unnatural is if Chris had small arms.
I mean, he's not as big as he used to be.
He's getting on a bit.
Oh, about that. People can be hench in their however old he is. I don't know. I don't think they ever say. But he's got like the sexiest coat now, though, to be fair.
It is quite a sexy coat.
Although his shirt is way too tight. Like, it's unnecessary. It's like he's had like a few too many takeaways and he's just not throwing the shirt. He's basically me since lockdown. Like, he's just not throwing those shirts away when really he should go up one or two.
So you are Chris Redfield, is what you're saying?
I mean, I'd rather be Jill Valentine.
Valid.
Wouldn't we all?
I want to be Shabba.
Shabba.
Yeah, Shabba.
Awesome. Well, speaking of Resident Evil Village, let's go on to our first news story, shall we? Which is that Capcom have revealed that the game shipped. Yeah, it's the same thing. Shifted, ship. I like that. We'll go with shifted. Over 3 million units globally. So it's definitely been a success. And as we said, there's a review up on the site if you want to know the in-depth opinion of Game Grin. But everyone seems to be really enjoying it. I know initially there was a kind of like a polarizing uncertainty around it, but everyone seems, at least from as far as I've seen, really, really enjoyed it, even though it is the most bizarre Resident Evil game.
Is it though?
Yeah, because it kind of gives me Resident Evil 4 vibes.
Well, I mean, like, so I haven't played it, but I got curious and, like, read a synopsis about it. And I guess without going into any spoilers, I guess what I'll say is I'm really surprised actually how, like, Capcom basically did a little sneaky, fuckers, because the way they marketed the game, they barely showed any of the game. Like, as far as I can tell, like, all the marketing kind of led everyone to believe, like, oh, yes, there is Vampire Lady, but then there's actually, like, a whole other game. I mean, well, in a good way.
Do you think that was, they just put out the Vampire Lady as, like, a little teaser? Because they also showed, like, a really big man, and then the Vampire Lady just kind of took off on Twitter and off online as its whole little thing.
Yeah, I think what happened, I think they showed a couple of key characters equally, and then said Vampire Lady stole the show and became pretty much the face of marketing, which I think it accidentally worked for Capcom because they've got this weird like obsession with never showing you what Ethan looks like. So he's kind of a faceless protagonist. So they were able to give the game its own sort of look with Lady Domitrescu, and that was it. They were like, yeah, I'll do.
I like to imagine now that like they had this whole marketing plan, popularity just exploded for her, and the marketing department went, you know what, we could just go on holiday, like just cancel everything else, it's fine, it's gonna sell, don't worry, head of Capcom, Sir Capcom, it's all gonna be good. And it did, and it worked out, and they're probably still on holiday now.
They're doing really well recently, aren't they, Capcom? Like, I feel like everything they release seems to just sell absolute shitloads.
It'll be interesting as well, because obviously, like, I don't actually know if we spoke about it, but a few weeks back, they did actually reveal that Resident Evil 4 is getting a VR release, which does beg the question of whether or not Resident Evil 4 will get a remake the same as Resident Evil 2 and 3, because that's been kind of weirdly up in the air for a while, is like, will RE4 also get remade? And a lot of people I've seen don't want it to be remade, but they all seem to be really up for the VR version.
I don't think it needs remaking. I think that's the thing with Resident Evil 4. I mean, you could probably like polish it up visually a little bit, but that game's so influential as a third-person shooter that games today still take from it. So when you remake a game like that, you're just running the risk of making a shit version of that game. It's not like RE2 when they remade that. It was like, this will, like, it should be better. Like, there's no reason for it not to be. We won't talk about Resident Evil 3 because, you know, we all make mistakes. And even when I say that, RE3 as a game was better than the original. Like, it was a better, like, technical video game. It's just the other things that they got wrong, i.e. selling a two-hour game for 60 quid, but, you know, different days and all that. And I just don't see how you can improve 4. Well, you could, but, like, the risk-reward of, like, producing a game that probably isn't as good is so high. And all those jokes in that game are so dated. Like, it doesn't need revisiting.
Just add VR, it makes everything better. Actually, I would like to see them use VR for Phoenix Wright. That'd be funny. Don't know how, but
court trials happen in real time, so you're actually like there for like 9 hours.
It's like social distancing, like actually going to court. Was it jury duty?
Oh my god!
Everyone's in avatars, like anime avatar.
Oh, that's just VR chat, surely. Anyway, moving away from that interesting rabbit hole that we could end up going down. Onto a quick little news story. There's been we've known for a while that the next Battlefield game is soon to be revealed. And the official Battlefield account on Twitter has given us an indication as to when that might be. I can't even make a joke out of this because the entire tweet is just words that rhyme with soon. June. Boom. That's it. That's the news story. We'll come back in June and talk about Battlefield, I guess.
Right. Listen, right. This may not be on the topic of Battlefield, like, necessarily. Does soon and boom actually rhyme?
No.
Exactly.
Rhyme.
Yeah, it's just not right. And for me, Battlefield is a 0 out of 10 for that.
See, I read it as though the boom was like a mic drop. So it was like soon, June. But yeah.
Maybe it's set on the moon. Battlefield moon.
I can see that. I could just see the presentation now. It's like, we know you all wanted more boots on the ground action. So we've taken your boots to new ground. And it's just the moon. And it's just like, but that's, I mean, you're half right.
Maybe they're teasing like new characters. Like they're going to bring that the California Raisins and it'll be a Battlefield prune.
Maybe they're just going to have really tall army men.
It worked for Resident Evil, it'll work for us. But no, but obviously the next Battlefield, we don't know, it's most likely going to be Battlefield 6, but there is no title. We just know that it's got DICE LA, EA Gothenburg, Industrial Toys, and Criterion all working on it. To the point where Criterion, who were previously announced to be working on a new Need for Speed, have had to shelve that project to support this Battlefield game. Yeah, I guess if you like Battlefield, let's see what they got.
What is it with these bloody companies and their first-person shooters and be like, right, every studio we own, you need to work on this. Come on.
Because loot boxes, but they're not loot boxes. Free DLC is kind of DLC, but it's loot boxes. It's fine.
Surprise mechanics.
Oh
like the Criterion are surprise mechanics because they do car stuff anyway.
Why are you like this?
Talking of surprises, I've got a couple of interesting Ubisoft news. I've literally just threw myself out of a loop there. Look, Ubisoft have come out with a couple of things, and we're going to start with The Division, which surprised everyone because Ubisoft came out and said, yo, The Division, Heartland, a new free-to-play standalone game for PC, PlayStation, Xbox is coming sometime between now and the end of 2022. And that's all they said. They then went on to tell us as well that The Division is not going anywhere, because alongside new content for The Division 2, which will be releasing sometime in the coming months, which was previously announced, we're going to have the new standalone Heartland game. There's also going to be a novel, a Netflix film, and a mobile game. You can go and sign up for a playtest of Heartland now, but there's no other information available. Speculation, given the title and the one image that's there, which has like trees and stuff in it, people reckon it may be a battle royale, or it may be some sort of like base building thing, because Heartland, home is where the heart is. Or heart is where the home is, I don't know. But if it is a battle royale, it begs the question as to why they haven't just released the battle royale mode from the first Division, which was amazing. It was one of the expansions. It was generally one of the best battle royale experiences, and it's just never made its way to Division 2.
They're probably going to sell it. You have to buy into it.
It's free to play, but once you die, you have to buy a new life. You get to play once.
I love how there's a roadmap of all the stuff, and on the roadmap it says Tom Clancy, The Division Universe, which hurts my head because The Division is like a spin-off or just another subsection of Tom Clancy and having its own universe, but there's other Tom Clancy stuff. So is that a multiverse of properties?
Well,
my head.
You see, it doesn't matter because it's an Ubisoft original, which is the new thing that they're doing. Eagle-eyed readers would have seen that The Division Heartland had the subheading an Ubisoft original. Ubisoft then later confirmed that yes, moving forward, all their internally developed games, which are their own IPs, will be listed as an Ubisoft original in the vein of Netflix, which makes sense given that you can subscribe to a service where you can pay like, £15 to play any of their games for like a month. Which is a good way to play whatever the next Assassin's Creed will be, because it'll probably be there at launch and it'll probably have features that you won't like. That wasn't particularly aimed at anyone.
I'm sold, Nikki.
And they've removed the bird.
Line me up.
But other Ubisoft news to quickly talk about. They had this sort of end of year reveal of numbers. Apparently they have 141 million unique players on PC and console, which is up 20% year on year. Assassin's Creed franchise revenue is up 50% year on year. The Division hit 40 million players, which is weird because there was a point a few months ago where everyone just assumed the Division was dead. And then out of nowhere, it's getting new content, a novel, a film, and a new standalone game. So, yeah, who knows? And apparently the Avatar Beyond Good and Evil 2, Riders Republic, at Skull and Bones, and a new Star Wars game are indeed still in development. I will believe you, Ubisoft, about Beyond Good and Evil 2 when you actually release it and I'm holding it in my hand.
Mm. Wait, Avatar? Which Avatar?
The
Blue Avatar.
Ah, Blue Avatar, okay.
Yeah, Massive Entertainment, the developers behind The Division and Division 2, they are now working on a new Star Wars game and an Avatar game. We don't know if they're working on a new Division. The Division Heartland is being made by a different studio. It's one of the ones who supported the DLC prior anyway.
What will come out first, Beyond Good and Evil 2 or Skull and Bones?
Well, apparently Rainbow Six Quarantine is still coming out, and yeah, apparently they're still calling it that.
Oh, ooh.
So that's a thing. But apparently Far Cry 6, Rainbow Six Quarantine, Riders Republic, The Division Heartland, Roller Champions, and a few other titles are planned to release before March 31st of 2022. Skull and Bones is apparently set to release between April 1st, 2022 and March 30th of 2023. That game has been in development for so long now. And it's literally just the naval combat section of Assassin's Creed.
That's good. But I wonder how many people will jump ship from from Sea of Thieves.
Oh my god, what a pun. That is horrendous.
I didn't even mean to do it and I caught myself out.
I suppose the question here is anyone excited for on any of those new Ubisoft titles? Because I mean, I'm interested in The Division, but other than that, I'm kind of like, I'll just see.
Yar!
No, listen to me, Nicky, right? You know how I feel about Ubisoft games. And all I can say is, I can almost guarantee there's going to be one of those fucking shitty Assassin's Creed birds in every single one of these fucking games. And I hate them. I hate them. I just hate them so much. They're like... What's a terrible film franchise that keeps going? Star Wars. They're like Star Wars. Like, they just won't die. And it's so sad that people still buy these games. And that's how I feel.
I have two words. Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, I have no idea what you just said to me.
He's in Far Cry 6. He's the villain. So, excited for that.
Did you play Far Cry 5?
I did.
It was awful, wasn't it?
I enjoyed it.
I just don't believe you at all.
Read my review on GameGrin.com.
Nah, that GameGrin's false journalism, mate. I don't trust anyone who writes to GameGrin. Holy shit. I'm doubting myself now.
Internet review going up, Rose.
You wait for what?
Review going up?
Never.
Sorry, Wings, I interrupted you.
That's okay. I just saw Just Dance was on there. If Just Dance 2022 is on the Wii, I'll buy it. I was going to say it here. If it's on the Wii...
I thought it was free to play now. Just done.
Is it? Well,
yeah. Like they do the whole like you download it and then you can pay for new songs, but you get like a small collection of songs for free. I think
it's not only that's a good idea. Oh, and I also just found out that the game that 2021 is the first game in the main series not to be released on the Wii. So that shattered my dreams.
I can't believe I've just sold an Ubisoft game to Winx. I hate me.
Well, since Rainbow Six Quarantine, or whatever it's going to be called, is apparently not Rainbow Six Siege 2, which means single-player content, I'm kind of excited for that.
Co-op game.
You love Rainbow Six, like, unreservedly. It's like the same way I feel about Resident Evil, where, like, Capcom could shit in my hand and say, that's the new Resident Evil, and I'd be like, thank you, Capcom. That's how you feel about Rainbow Six.
No, it's not, because I'm not going to play Rainbow Six Siege at all. I'm not interested in multiplayer at all, and that's a Rainbow Six game that I'm never going to play.
But is that the only one, though? Because that could be like your Resident Evil 6. In which case, I'd rather Capcom had shot my hand and asked me to play that instead.
Can we get the next main topic to be, what is your Resident Evil to Rhodes for you?
I think next episode just needs to be we try and find a game that Rhodes likes.
Resident Evil all the way.
Dino Crisis.
I gave Little Nightmares 2 a 10 earlier this year. Basically, if you make it scary, but not that scary, but just kind of scary with a bit of atmosphere, I'm all over it. Like, I love it.
Take 2 was a bit scary.
I don't know about that.
I mean, it was real horror, like as in horror of like a crumbling marriage, but it was horror nonetheless.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But that was also a really good game. Yeah, I like loads of games. We talked about that. I just hate Ubisoft, which is pronounced Ubisoft, and I need to remember that. But I'm not. I refuse. I'm not even going to say it the right way. They don't deserve it. I'm going to call them Ubisoft from now on.
Moving on. I don't have a segue for this. I hope you all played Judgment, because Judgment's getting a sequel called Lost Judgment, which really confused me when everyone was talking about, oh, Lost Judgment's just been announced. And it's like, what do you mean Lost Judgment? Is it a sequel? A re-release? What's going on? No, it is a sequel. So apparently, I hope I get this right. Judgment's obviously a spin-off of the Yakuza series, but it's kind of, you play as a detective who skateboards. This game is going to be a direct sequel, but apparently at the same time as announcing this, they kind of announced that this, the Judgment series, is going to basically retain the kind of third-person, wacky beat-em-up gameplay, whereas the Yakuza series is going to stay turn-based for a while. I feel like Ace might be able to confirm or deny that for me.
That is what they've said. The Yakuza series going forward is going to be turn-based battles. Lost Judgment is going to be the same action-y, beat-y-up-y style that Judgment and previous Yakuza games were.
Yeah. I haven't played Judgment, but I know a lot of people have, and it seems to be quite good. It's on the list of games for me to play. So getting a sequel to it is quite interesting, because it kind of seemed like it was going to be like a little one and done thing. But there's a trailer up that reveals, you know, kind of some of the details about the game, but it's a direct sequel, and it's going to be coming to PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox One, XS, and probably PC at some point in the future, although it's not actually been announced yet. Pretty much all like Sega games are coming to PC at some point. So that's my 2 cents. I'm going to speculate that now. But it's coming out on the 24th September 2021.
I will not be playing it on launch because I won't have finished Yakuza 5 by then.
I mean, I feel like you're getting through them at quite a quick rate. Like, you're at 4. Well, 5 is quite long. Is it 4 or 5? That's quite long, though, actually.
Well, like, 4, I know 4 has 4 protagonists, so I'm assuming it's pretty long.
I think so. It's definitely one which is a lot longer than the rest. It might be 4. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, I've got like 3 games to go until, and then I still have to play Judgment, so.
You're going to do the other Yakuza spin-off games, like the Fist of the
North? No, I do want to check out Fist of the North Star.
Fist of the North Star is so good. That's another game I like, put on the list. Thank you. It's Yakuza 5. Yakuza 5, for reasons that I don't understand, is like twice the length of every other Yakuza game, and I really just don't know why. It's still really good, though.
Do you think the name, like, of, was it Lost Judgment, is it going to continue like a long sentence, or will he find the judgment in the end?
I hope not. I hope it's just like, that's the series, is he's just looking for his dog, Judgment.
Can someone find, here's a flyer, here's my number, can you find my dog lost, it is lost, Judgment.
That's the entire
title right there, including stammers.
You just have to spend the whole like gameplay loop just beating people up to ensure that you've got the yen to cover the cost of someone finding the dog and the reward that you promised them.
Okay, I'd just like to interrupt. Fist of the North Star Lost Paradise is currently $7.99. It's 50% off. I'm buying that.
Woo!
Have you ever like read or watched Fist of the North Star?
No.
It's quite. It's not perfectly accurate to like the original story, but it's quite close.
Hmm.
I just love that, like, Fist of the North Star gets referenced in just about everything. In fact, slight side tangent: a currently airing anime, I Killed Slimes for 300 Years and Maxed Out My Level, that had a Fist of the North Star reference completely out of nowhere, and it's the best thing to happen in the past month to me.
Fist of the North Star is John Cena's favorite TV series.
There is a Kazuma Kiryu skin for $3.29. It's a costume that Kenshiro wears to become Kazuma Kiryu from the Yakuza series.
And you're buying it, right?
Yes.
Sold to the man in the front.
Why would I not? Just been going on about the Yakuza series.
Well, if you're still listening to this episode, then it's your duty as well to go and purchase this. Just everyone just go buy Fist of the North Star. It'd be fine. Moving to our second to last, penultimate, I think is the word for that. Thank you. I'm going to talk about Destiny for a minute, because I can, and it's news. Whey! Destiny 2's new season got revealed last week, and is actually, at the time of recording, has technically kicked off, although last I checked, the servers were still offline because of some issues. I think it was Honeybrew was the error code that was popping up for people, so they've extended the maintenance period. This is Season 14 of Destiny 2, and it is titled Season of the Splicer, and no, it's not to do with Siva. Instead, it's to do with neon cubes. I'm not kidding. The trailer is full of neon colors and cubes, and it looks sick as anything. But this season is going to see the Vex put the last city into a simulation that creates an endless night. And with no more sun, all the humans get a little bit sad. So we team up with a splicer, a fallen splicer, to basically save the day by taking advantage of new splicer tech and, beating up Vex in the process. This all ties in with the Return of the Vault of Glass raid from the original Destiny 1, which goes live on the 22nd of May. So if you're looking to get to race for that glorious world first belt, that's the day to be ready for. There's also going to be, alongside all the new content, we've got armor synthesizing, which is basically transmog, although it's a horrible system. I love Bungie, but I don't know how they managed to screw up transmogging, which is like the most simple thing in the world. They've not only added like 3 steps to get the currency, they've added a limit to how many items you can apply a skin to per season. So not just per week, it's per season. Seasons are like 3 months, which is ludicrous, because then you have to start paying. So hopefully they kind of roll back on that. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good season. I'm excited. I've done a little bit of prep for it, which was basically I logged into Destiny for like the first time in like a month and realized Guardian Games had come and gone. Hunter's won or done, just because you're the most popular class. Salty Titan over here. But yeah, I'm excited, and I think it's going to be good. Although, from a lore point of view, I'm not quite sure how we've gone from fighting a cabal and now making kind of like an armistice with them, to suddenly the Vex rocking up and being like, haha, no sun for you. But there you go, that's the Destiny news. No one else here plays Destiny, so. Yeah, that silence says everything I need to know.
Aww.
Yeah, so I'll report back next week with if the season's any good.
I believe they will be. I thought it was on the up now, Destiny. Like, I thought it was doing not really well, but like everything they were putting in was really positive, wasn't it?
Yeah, they kind of did. Like, Destiny had a bit of... I mean, Destiny is an interesting game because you can pretty much track week by week what the general feeling of the game is. And usually it's like after about 3 weeks of new content, everyone's like, game's dead. It's terrible. Fix Bungie. And it's like, we literally had this conversation 3 months ago, guys. Like, but no, last season was good. I just didn't play because I just didn't feel it. I am always a bit on and off with Destiny. For me, the expansions are the best thing because I love the deep lore. I love the story missions. That's what I'm here for. The grinding for loot just for a season pass outside of that doesn't really faze me too much. I don't think I've ever finished any of the season passes since they introduced them. But it's doing all right. Like, they've added some new content. Obviously, we've got this weird cycle of content. I think, don't hold me to this, I need to check, this season is the first time the previous season stuff isn't going. They've changed how all of that sort of sunsetting is working. So I need to go and read the full patch notes. They're really long, which is why I've not read them before recording. But it looks like it's going to be good. And they delayed the new expansion, the Witch Queen. And every season's an ongoing narrative. I think we're getting an extra season. I can't remember if that's the case or if they just extended the length of all of them. But I really don't know where the narrative's going, because we did the whole Beyond Light and we started using Siva, which is darkness powers. Then we fought a cabal. and now the Vex have just rocked up again, and I'm not quite too sure how. Like, there's a lot of plot lines running, and they just seem to jump between like plot line number one and plot line number 572. So how it's all going to come to head for the Witch Queen later next year, I don't know. But I'm excited. I enjoy jumping into Destiny and seeing how it's developing. And Bungie, I think, are doing good, with the exception of the transmogging. I don't know. Like, that's, I don't understand how that's the one system they've somehow managed to just cock up, when it's by far the most easy thing. Like, any game that has a transmog system, it's usually, have you ever owned this item? Yes. Cool. Then you can apply its look to another piece of equipment. Maybe pay a little bit of like gold or something.
Well, maybe, is that why? To say that it's more confusing, so you're more inclined to buy that currency.
Well, the thing is, like, you have to do one thing to get one currency, then turn that currency into another currency, and then turn that currency into another currency, and then you can only change the appearance of 10 items per season, and then you have to pay.
And definitely sounds like they're doing it on purpose.
Well, I was saying to a friend the other day that I completely understand them saying that, look, you got to pay, but like, why not just, if you're going to do that, at least make the process of getting them less grindy. So someone pointed out on Twitter as well that, you know, Destiny is a game about grinding. Why put a cap on the grind? But it looks like they're going to be selling premium cosmetics and skin anyway. They already do, so I'm not too sure what's going on. So once the servers are back up, I'll be jumping in and having a look. So maybe I'll report back next week and sort of see what happened there. But yeah, that's the biggest problem the Destiny community has right now with Destiny, is the fact that you can only transmog 10 things per season. But we'll see how that system works when the server's back up. All right, moving on to our last news story of the night. Let's talk about Konami for a moment.
I don't want to. Can we not? Can we just...
Wait, is it Konami?
I'm pretty sure this is Konami, yeah.
I don't think it's Konami.
Fatal Frame.
No, it's not. It wasn't. Tecmo. But it's definitely a Konami move. Maybe they're learning from it.
I mean, it's, look, a game's been turned into a pachinko machine. I'm allowed to jump to conclusion.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Fatal Frame series is back as a pachinko machine. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, really right there.
It's gambling. True.
Horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah, so apologies. Not apologies, Konami. You still
sorry. Yes.
But by Tecmo, the first Fatal Frame game debuted in 2001, and the most recent entry was on the Nintendo Wii in 2014. It's a bit of a weird niche game series, but people really like it. It's always something that I've been wanting to play. But yeah, it's back as a pachinko machine.
Do you think Fatal Frame's niche? I feel like I see it crop up every year, and it's like generic. What should you play this Halloween like list? It's always like number one.
I mean, I think it's because it's very much like it's a very good horror game. It's like the Siren games,
but like a cult classic, I would call it.
Yeah, that's probably a better word than whatever I said a minute ago. Yes, my memory is that bad. But I don't know. I'm expecting them to be like, "Hey, Parasite Eve's back as a pachinko machine." Everything seems to be coming back as pachinko machines.
Dino Crisis pachinko
machine. Time Crisis pachinko.
Oh. Time Crisis gets turned into a pachinko machine. I will murder someone, and then go play it.
But you're drawing the you're drawing the line at bloody Time Crisis pachinko machine, not Fatal Frame or Metal Gear. I just don't understand what the... Well, I mean, I do understand, because obviously it's a big thing in Japan, pachinko machines, and that's... I get why they do it, you know?
But why?
Why? Like, I've never... For me, like, if I was to play on a pachinko machine, which admittedly I've never done, but if I was in Japan, I'd probably give one a go, but I wouldn't... If I was able to play them every day, I don't think I'd ever be in a point where I'm like, oh, that one's got Metal Gear Solid branding. I must play on that one, because it doesn't matter, does it? Like, it's just...
I mean, I would definitely play the heck out of a Nier pachinko machine just to see what the heck would happen.
To be fair, like, go and watch videos of pachinko machines. Some of them are ridiculously, like, over the top. There's like, a Power Rangers-esque one where if you do good enough... And to point out, these games, like, literally the controls are you're just turning a dial to see how quickly like marbles come out of the machine. But like if you get like a certain score, then like a sword pops out and you have to pull the sword out, and then later on you go into a boss fight and you'll stab it back in. Like they're quite interesting as far as like weird little gambling slot machines go. But it's just weird that they're like, yeah, Fatal Frame. I could understand them making Metal Gear into a pachinko machines. It's like, okay, it's Konami and it's a very big franchise, but Fatal Frame is so random to just come back as a pachinko machine.
Do you think they saw Konami and was like, all right, Silent Hill, we've got Silent Hill?
Maybe. Or they just looked at Konami and gone, they've not done anything weird for a while.
Now, I'm not doing this on purpose, but Yakuza 4, according to the achievement list at least, has pachinko in it.
Yeah, but that's at least fictionalized. That's possible.
So could they not extrapolate that and have a Yakuza pachinko machine?
Right, Ace. Stop giving people ideas. Holy shit.
It looks like there is.
Oh, for God's sake. Too late.
Well, to be
my
fair,
idea went into the past.
To be fair, I did just type in pachinko Yakuza and I'm getting some really weird images, so it might not be.
It's probably the game, because yeah, weird images.
Do Sega do pachinko generally?
I mean, they've got like a whole
Sega
arcade.
Sammy. So the Sammy section, I wouldn't say that they don't.
No, yeah, that's fair. Oh, yeah, they actually have the most successful one, which, of course, is Fist of the North Star as well. There you go. Has made $18 million. Doesn't really seem like a lot in 20 years.
On a slight random side note, if you actually would like to see more about pachinko machines, if you've never, like, if it's just completely new or alien to you, YouTube, The Day in the Life of a Japanese Casino Worker, Pachinko. There's a video by Paolo from Tokyo. A little shout out there. It's just a video that just shows literally a day of someone working in a casino, but like there's a whole section where they go on like about pachinko, and it's actually quite fascinating. Or as weird as that whole kind of gambling, not that I'm saying you should gamble.
The Greencast says, please gamble responsibly.
No.
I think we legally have to say that.
Full gacha responsibly.
You don't even adhere to that advice.
I did put my Genshin this week. Oh, crap. I put a tenner in, all right? But an interesting thing, just very quickly before we move on. You can't, like, because of Japanese gambling laws, you can't even get your prize in the building you're playing in. So, like, if you win big, so to speak, you actually don't get your prize in that building. They give you, I might be speaking out my ass here, but if memory serves, they essentially give you, like, a coin that equates to the value, and then you basically have to go to like a building across the street to exchange that for actual money. You're basically selling the silver to them for money.
Yeah,
you're not actually getting money, so you're not actually winning it. Honestly,
it's a workaround, isn't it? Because gambling is banned in Japan, so you're not actually gambling for money. You're gambling for the token, and then the token is the money. But as long as you have to hand the token in somewhere that isn't in the pot, it's absolute nonsense.
Crikey.
Yeah. But as we said, you know, we're not endorsing gambling at all.
But if you do, put it all on black. There you go.
If you win big, though, send us some, yeah?
Yeah.
All on 23.
No, don't listen to her. She doesn't know anything.
Listen to Winx. Listen to not Winx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my Mario to my Wario. Wait.
Wait.
Am I the Wario? Wait, that makes him Minx. Wait. I want to be Minx. Oh, whatever.
What's Winx trying to do with that identity, guys? last couple of minutes before we wrap up for this evening. And that's a quick one, which is, what's a game that's not what you're expecting? Be it that it was better or it was worse? What Mine was going to be Nier. Not going to go into it because it's pretty obvious, but like Nier is a game that, especially the first one, that first initial thing, you're like, what am I doing? And then by the end of it, you're bawling your eyes out and, you know, you've devoted yourself to Yokotaro.
Mine's Bugsnax.
My gosh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I know. It appears a blast from the past. It's a game where you think it's going to be some stupid, silly little game about people who eat bugs and turn into food. And it's actually this like deep story about these people and their relationships with one another and how they need to fix it. And like, and it's just like, holy shit, I wasn't fucking ready for this, but it's brilliant. Play Bugsnax. Play it now.
Get a PS5 though.
It's on PC.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, I won't get it then. I was gonna say Nier as well, you know, because yeah, hack and slash RPG. That's what sold me. But then it was like, nah, I'm also a shoot 'em up. Nah, I'm also, you know, twin stick shooting, also platformer. Now you can't see me. Now you don't. Now I could do bullet hell, whatever. And then obviously the story and the music and stuff. But I'm not going to talk about that, even though I just did. Hat of a Boyfriend.
Ooh.
I was not, you know, I went into it being like, this is a dumb pigeon dating sim game. And came out of it being like, this is a dumb pigeon dating sim. But now I look at visual novels a different way. Just with different endings. Obviously, different endings, yeah, that you're going to get some kind of emotional attachment. But there was just one or two where it's just, it's so out of left field. I generally was enthralled from like playing, doing like odd playing sessions, like once every other day, being like, all right, I'll play for like 40 minutes, get through one story. There's one that goes on for like 4 hours and I was hooked the entire time and didn't bother to eat. You know, I just kept playing and like all the story points actually kind of combinated. And I was just like, holy crap. How did this happen? It was my near experience, but for visual novels.
I honestly thought when you said Hatterful Boyfriend, then you were just going to say you didn't expect it to be a pigeon dating sim.
Wait, what? Excuse me.
Yeah, did you not know it was the pigeons? The
pigeons.
Yeah.
That's why every parody was cute. Oh.
I do have to say though, like at that point in the internet, where like Hatterful Boyfriend was this big, like cool thing. Do you think anyone did play it who didn't know it was about pigeon dating? And how do you think they reacted to that when they saw it?
I'm gonna go back to 10 seconds ago when you first heard me react. What?
Hold on.
Yeah. Nanny the fuck. Just because I haven't actually spoken about it on the podcast for a while, Days Gone.
Oh.
That should have been as good as it was. I should not have spent nearly 80 hours platinuming that game. I should not have enjoyed that game for 80 hours. And now that one of the creators said that people should buy games at full price, I'm a bit like, oh.
I was going to ask if you bought it for a full price yet. Because you've enjoyed it.
The sale.
Buy it for full price now then.
You're going to have to buy the PC version. Afraid. But don't buy the PC version now. Wait till it's on sale. And then when you buy it, it will make up a whole price. Because obviously you don't want to go over the price because he didn't say pay over the price. He doesn't want to rip you off. Like he just wants the full price.
Yeah, he's fair.
It's okay though, because I paid full price to Sony because I bought Days Gone and God of War together for £30. I still haven't even launched God of War. That's how up to date I am on gaming, ladies and gentlemen.
You're sleeping on the better game, let me tell you that.
That's the weird like irony of it is I decided to go with what is arguably the weaker game of the two. And Days Gone is still a great game, but like of the two, God of War is probably objectively a better game.
You picked the much longer one as well.
Nice.
That was the best bit about it. You spent like 80 hours platinuming it, and God of War is like a 15-20 hour story off your pop.
I'm trying to think if there's any other games that kind of that exceeded my expectation in either a good or bad way. The most recent Neptunia game, which you can read my full review on the site, that was disappointing.
Sad net noises.
Sad net.
It's a weird one, but Pokemon Go was. Oh. I don't know if it exceeded my expectation in a good or a bad way. I couldn't even tell you, but like, I never thought like I'd feel so happy about walking around in the middle of the road catching a fucking Weedle. And yeah, there I was, walking around in the middle of the road, catching a Weedle. And there was a spawn around the corner from my house, which just gave only Dratinis, and it was just the most wonderful thing. I kind of put my arm out the window and just, like, catch loads of them.
Beautiful. Oh, I got one. You're going to hate it, though. It's not Sonic. Don't worry. 2010 FIFA World Cup South Africa.
Oh, I don't hate
specifically.
That.
Specifically.
Very specific
Because it's so broken, and you can play literally any country that is part of the FIFA. Like, so you can be like literally any country that has a football team, that's like an international football team, you can play it. So that's already gotten some points for me. But it's so broken. It's just funny. It's all glitched out. It's almost like they're playing on cheat mode sometimes. Like, just things will glitch. It's beautiful. It's one of the best.
Are you talking about FIFA World Cup 2010 South Africa, or are you talking about FIFA 21? I'm not too sure at the moment.
2010 FIFA World Cup South Africa, specifically.
You've described them all, though. They're all broken and full
of bugs. They're all broken, right? But you can't...
Is this broken in a good way? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's in a beautiful, broken way. Oh, just... It's beautiful. You can play as like just some random team, some random island, and that's fun. And then also like your legs will just bend up backwards. The goalie will decide not to work. Crowd will just they've got vuvuzelas and they've put. I'm not sure if they actually put like an update onto it, but they put vuvuzelas in the game before they knew that it was. It's perfect because it was just. Encapsulates it's the whole time of that World Cup, how bizarre it was with the bees, the swarm of bees everywhere. It's fantastic.
I miss the vuvuzelas.
Me too.
Oh, I can't imagine any of you thought this podcast with Emma Winks going in hard on a football game that she loved. Did you?
I think that's it. I think that's the perfect way to end, to be honest with you.
Well, like that's it. Grindcast is over forever now.
Yeah, we'll be back next week with the Let's Find a Game Adam Likes cast.
Yeah, Death by Vuvuzela.
I've named so many. I don't know what you want from me. I think I've praised more than anyone else here today.
I don't even like the Yakuza series.
You've got me. I hate Yakuza.
I want you next week to host the podcast, and we're going to call it the Southern Cast.
I think next week should just be a podcast where you just list off like iconic video games and I tell you whether or not I like them.
Every single game ever released, it's just like 8 hours of just title, meh, title, right? Title, it's all right.
Yeah. A Rhodes review in 5 seconds or less.
Rhodes reviews, Dominoid defines.
It's all Nikki notates. Ace analyzes.
Oh, I have the hard job.
Winks whittles. I got a speed impediment.
And with that, our episode has come to an end. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining. And thank you for listening, and even bigger, thank you for subscribing, whether that's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. Keep an eye on our social media to know when all the latest news, reviews, and articles go live on the site. Just search Game Grin, you'll find us. And, of course, check out the Twitch channel as well, where we occasionally stream a plethora of different games. And, of course, whilst you're at it, game on.